There are times when we must raise our voice and sound a warning, sound the alarm like a trumpet blast. This is one of those times.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey friends, Michael Brown here. Thanks so much for joining us on The Line of Fire. I've got some really important things to talk to you about. I will not be taking phone calls today. So sit back, take in the contents of the show today. Call a friend, text a friend, encourage them to join in and listen. You know, one of the roles that we have as the people of God in society is to be a moral conscience, not to be policemen, not to be inspecting how everybody lives and condemning this one and condemning that one, but to be a moral conscience. In other words, to live lives that reflect the character and the nature of God, to live lives that shine like light in dark places, to live lives that thereby expose darkness, to live lives, to speak words that will bring conviction on sinners. You know, people sin in the dark. Oh, not all the time, but the thief is going to steal in the dark so that no one can see that person. You go by some strip club or something like that, and it doesn't have windows so everyone can look in. It's hidden. What's going to take place there is going to take place behind those doors, behind those closed doors and windowless walls. And people are going to do something wrong if some man's committing adultery or something like that. He's going to do it in a way that's as secret as possible so he doesn't get caught. Light comes and exposes the darkness. And by the quality of our lives, this is how it should be. Not that we're perfect in this world. We remain flawed human beings, but we should be so changed through the gospel. We should be so changed in terms of character, in terms of love, in terms of compassion, in terms of truth, in terms of purity, that our very lives bring conviction on the world. So there are things that we address. There are things we talk about. If we don't address the issue, say, of abortion, do we expect the world to address it? If we didn't address issues of slavery in the 1800s, are we expecting the world to do it? If we're not raising issues about family life and moral standards, do we expect the world to do it? In the same way, within the body, there are times when we need to speak up and speak out. This is one of those times. If you still have not yet read my article on the apostasy of world vision, I know strong words, and I did not intend to say that in every way they have denied the gospel. That's not the case. I did not intend to say that all of their workers or leaders have denied the gospel. God forbid. I did not intend to make a statement as to the salvation of the leadership that made a dreadfully wrong decision. Didn't intend that at all. What I intended to say is they have now departed from the faith in terms of a fundamentally important issue in God's sight, and thereby brought terrible reproach to the name of Jesus, and ultimately terribly undermined their mission and terribly undermined their profession that Jesus is Lord and central to what they're doing. You cannot cast off his standards. You cannot rewrite the Bible. You cannot redefine marriage and have Jesus in central place as Lord. I want to talk about the nature of the apostasy. I want to raise my voice as loudly as I can, like a trumpet blast, as it said in Isaiah 58, not fashioning myself as some kind of prophet, but rather saying as a servant of the Lord, I want to speak the truth and help raise deeper consciousness in the body. I also want to share some thoughts about, does America have the moral right to condemn Uganda? I want to talk about that as well and give a bit more of an official statement regarding the anti-homosexuality bill in Uganda. It is Wednesday. We're focusing on the world, on moral and cultural issues from a kingdom perspective, a perspective that exalts Jesus. All right, we've got a whole lot to cover today, and we will be right back. Love a lot more.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire broadcast. Michael Brown, blessed and delighted to be with you. It's a serious day, but it's a day of hope because our God sits on the throne ruling and reigning as King. Jesus has risen from the dead. Therefore, there is always hope. If you have not yet downloaded my free series on revival, go to my website now. It's free, no strings attached, about 24 hours of teaching. Back in the late 1980s, when I began to teach on this and write about this more systematically, the subject of revival, it absolutely gripped my heart. So I taught a night class on revival, 16 weeks, about an hour and a half each class, if I recall. And I went through the Bible on this systematically. I went through American history. I looked at characteristics of revival. I looked at what it would take to really see revival in our day and how we could pray and cry out to God for it. And this is the series that we've made available for many years. People have been able to buy it on audio tapes or in the old days or then on CD or even download it. But we just decided, even though it's a whole course, to make it available free to everyone. And we did it for two reasons. First, we want to help spark revival. We want to help raise vision, pastors, leaders, individual believers. Who knows what could happen when God visits? Who knows how our nation could be changed when God visits? So that's one thing. This way we can sow this into you and help spark a spirit, an attitude, a heart for revival among believers. That, and this is for charismatic, non-charismatic alike. We're talking about visitation by God. The second thing is it's a way for us to connect with you. Many of you have never connected with us. You don't know the materials we have, the resources we have. We have thousands of hours of free resources on our website. So we want to connect with you through this gift. And it is a gift, no strings attached, yours to keep. So as soon as you have the opportunity, go to Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org, all right? And while you're on the website, if you've not yet read my article on World Vision and their redefining of marriage in the workplace and their sanctioning two men or two women getting married, quote, married in the workplace and saying, hey, you can be Christian and do this. If you haven't read my article on it, I'm going to share more about that with you on the broadcast. But go to my website while you're there, click on latest article, all right? And you can read the article there on the apostasy of world vision, by which I mean departing from something of fundamental moral and spiritual importance in God's sight, and thereby, in that area, denying Jesus as Lord, thereby apostatizing from a key aspect of their faith and calling. I'm not taking calls today. I've got a lot of things I want to share with you, but one more reminder. If you're listening to this broadcast on the radio, all right, you're on one of our great stations. We're on several hundred stations around America. If you're listening to this on the radio, come Monday, so Monday, March 31st, some of you will not be able to hear me on the radio, or you will get a half hour of the broadcast instead of an hour. It's a time of divine pruning for us. We believe that God is pruning us so we can be cut back to bear much more fruit. But my heart has beat so deeply to be on the radio. For years and years, I journaled that God wanted me to be on the radio as a voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. My schedule was full, super busy. I saw no way it was possible. I didn't try to open these doors. Folks came knocking at my door about this. We knew it was the Lord. We've been on daily talk radio now about 6 years. We did a major national expansion 3 years ago. We didn't have the funds to do it, but we stepped out in faith to do it, understanding that over a period of some years that listener support would grow adequately to fund the broadcast. But in quite a few places, that listener support has not been there. And we have fallen way behind trying to fund this on our own. So we've got to step back. The stations love the broadcast. We hear wonderful reports from so many listeners. It is our desire, if we have to go off a station, to get back on as soon as possible. But right now, some of you listening will not be able to listen on the radio come next week, which means you need to listen online. You don't have to miss a show. You can listen online on our website, or you can download the free podcast, or you can also get an app for your cell phone where while you're driving in your car, you can listen via your cell phone, maybe with your earpiece or headphones, whatever. So you will be able to continue to follow us, but for some, not on the radio. You say, well, how do I know? I'm going to announce all the stations tomorrow and Friday, just so you can be aware. But if you go to my website now, go to askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org, and click on latest blog, you'll already find a list. When Franklin Graham got word yesterday that World Vision had changed its policy, World Vision US, but obviously the most well-known or influential part and the founding part of World Vision, when they announced their policy, their radical policy change regarding homosexual practice, Franklin Graham said, I was shocked today to hear of World Vision's decision to hire employees in same-sex marriages. The Bible is clear that marriage is between a man and a woman. My dear friend Bob Pierce, the founder of World Vision and Samaritan's Purse, would be heartbroken. He was an evangelist who believed in the inspired word of God. World Vision maintains that their decision is based on unifying the church, which I find offensive, as if supporting sin and sinful behavior can unite the church. From the Old Testament to the New Testament, the scriptures consistently teach that marriage is between a man and woman, and any other relationship is sin. Franklin Graham, of course, president and CEO of Samaritan's Purse, and Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. Friends, this is not just shocking in terms of what World Vision has done. It is shocking in terms of the words that are being used. I read the article in Christianity Today. It came out shortly after I broke the news about this on the Line of Fire and via social media. I was told the article was coming out on Tuesday, and that's when I said, okay, I'll break the news then on Monday. I'd heard about this 2 weeks earlier through anonymous sources. I waited on it. I was thinking, is there any way to contact them to appeal the decision? I thought, well, they're not going to listen to that. Plus, then I learned the decision's already made. I wanted to make sure I had the details right because I didn't want to misrepresent them in any way on national radio and wherever it goes through social media. So when I heard that the word was going to get out on Tuesday, I said, okay, I'll announce it on the air on Monday. And then shortly after I announced it on the air and posted on social media, the article that I was told was coming out Tuesday ended up being posted on Christianity Today on Monday. So within an hour or two of me announcing this, this was now officially confirmed. Friends, I read the article. I read the quotes in Christianity Today by Richard Stearns, the president of World Vision. And I'm sure he cares about the poor in many ways, and I'm sure he has helped World Vision do tremendous good around the world. And we don't minimize that. The kids that are being cared for, the needs that are being met, those remain exactly the same. And I'm thankful for what World Vision has done and is doing. But over and over and over and over in the article, he used the word unity, 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 unity. I was reading it thinking, can he actually believe what he's saying? Does Mr. Stearns actually believe what he's saying, that this is somehow an act of unity? That saying a man can marry a man, a woman can marry a woman, you can be a practicing homosexual, quote, Christian, and an employee of World Vision, that is not compromise? When he says there's no compromise, there's no slippery slope, this is done for the spirit of unity and with the hope of uniting Christians around serving the poor. I mean, just using words that are the opposite of what you intend them to mean or what they actually mean doesn't change their meaning. It's mind-boggling. Well, I'm going to get into that more. I want to share more specifics with you. And the main reason, though, I'm not entirely surprised about this terrible, tragic decision The main reason I'm not totally surprised is because World Vision has very much been on the wrong side of the Israel-Palestine debate. Rather than working for justice on all sides, rather than recognizing Israel's victimhood as well as the Palestinians' victimhood, it has just taken a very one-sided approach, which is very typical of the younger generation, that they'll see the micro narrative but not the macro narrative. They'll see what looks like an injustice here. That boy was bullied at school. That gay kid was bullied at school, and that's wrong. And therefore, homosexuality is right. It makes that same kind of jump with Palestinians and the conflict with Israel. I've seen World Vision doing that for years and years now. So in that sense, there has already been a departure from larger biblical values. It's grievous, but not entirely a surprise. We're going to unpack some of this doublespeak in Mr. Stern's article when we come back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to your listener-sponsored voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity in the midst of a society in chaos and a church all too often in compromise. You think I just say those words lightly, friends? You think I speak of a society in chaos and a church all too often in compromise as just a catchy little phrase? No, it is the reality. I'm looking at a post on my Facebook page from Nikki. She says about World Vision and responding to my article, The Apostasy of World Vision. One of my family activist friends suggests, by the way, that they be called World Division as opposed to World Vision. I urge World Vision leaders around the world, you are autonomous. You do not have to follow the lead of World Vision U.S. I appeal to you not only to not follow the lead of World Vision U.S. in sanctioning homosexual so-called marriage among your employees, but I ask you to send a message of rebuke to World Vision U.S., urging them to repent and, if necessary, moving ahead with some way where you can serve others without being associated with their very wrong and ugly decision. Nikki said this, Dr. Brown, this news hit me right between the eyes. I have supported World Vision for many years and even took a huge lead in helping Team World Vision last year raise funds by running marathons. I pray that the eyes of the blind shall be opened and we realize there is a huge difference between loving us as Messiah loved us and endorsing sin to be politically correct or for money. World Vision seems to have lost its way somewhere. You know, World Vision was founded. One reason for its founding was to be a conservative Christian organization helping the poor. Many would go the way of liberalism, more of a social works gospel that got away from the centrality of Jesus in the mission. Yes, when you feed a person, you feed a person. Yes, when you clothe a person, you clothe a person. Yes, when you care for a needy child, you care for a needy child. But when you couple it with a holistic gospel approach of justice, a holistic gospel approach of bringing hope along with tangible food and clothing, absolutely, it is different and absolutely it conveys the fullness of God's heart. And that's one reason that World Vision was founded. It has now made it clear that it has departed from its founder's vision. And you can be sure that people who were involved in the founding of World Vision would have never stood for this nonsense for a single minute. Not taking calls, so if you want to add your amen or challenge me, just can't do it today. But by all means, go to my website and write to us at info@askdrbrown.org. What I say in my article, The Apostasy of World Vision, is that their decision to do what they've done is a betrayal of the gospel, a betrayal of the Lord, a betrayal of the family, and a betrayal of the countless thousands of Christians who have put their trust in World Vision as a legitimate Christian organization. When I was informed about this decision a little over 2 weeks ago by a colleague based on conference calls that had taken place within the organization and someone that was involved with them, then informed this colleague of mine who then informed me, what was perhaps the most grievous thing of all was the degree to which the convictions of the evangelical Christians, which would reflect the convictions of the founders of the organization, to the degree to which I was told those views were scorned. And while I mentioned 40,000-something employees, that would be a worldwide figure of those working with World Vision. They touch as many as 100 million people a year. Their budget in the States is over $1 billion, and they've got 1,100-plus employees in the States. And I was told that the views of the committed Christians, evangelical Christians, protesting this decision, that those views were just scorned. In no way does it contribute to, quote, building a better world for children, one of the fundamental goals of World Vision. In fact, it does the opposite. It was last June, World Vision U.S. President Richard Stern stated, quote, no one ever died of gay marriage. So he trivialized the importance of the issue as if it somehow contrasted with the organization's mission of providing tangible relief to suffering humanity. Then in the Christianity Today article that came out on Monday, shortly after we announced things on the air, as I mentioned earlier, he said that this radical move they were taking was, quote, a very narrow policy change. Why? Because it only affected employees of World Vision. Oh, are you serious? A very narrow policy change now saying that two men or two women can marry in God's sight as followers of Jesus and their sexual acts are no longer unclean, they're now holy? What? And he said that this should be viewed as symbolic not of compromise, but of unity. I mean, that word unity occurs over and again in his Christianity Today article, as if by saying something that's not true, it becomes true. As if by using a word in the opposite of the reality of the situation, that word now changes meaning. You've got to be kidding me. So the World Vision redefines the nature of marriage, which is the most fundamental institution of society, ordained by God in Genesis 2, as the lifelong union of a man and woman, reaffirmed by Jesus as such in Matthew 19. World Vision ignores the explicit and repeated condemnation of homosexual practice throughout the scriptures and then claims it's a, quote, very narrow policy change? Seriously? What I have urged everyone to do that currently gives to World Vision is to inform them that you can no longer do that in good conscience. If you are a Christian artist, a group, a band, and you've featured World Vision in your concerts, if you're a church that has partnered with them, let them know you can no longer do that. Obviously, if you have a sponsorship to an individual child or something like that, probably you're going to want to stay with that because you can't just get that child sponsored by someone else. But as soon as you finish that, or as soon as you're able to make a break, take your money and give it to another Christian organization. And there are fine Christian humanitarian organizations. Don't stop helping the poor. Your local church may be able to send the funds for you. You may connect directly with Samaritan's Purse or Food for the Hungry, Compassion International, or other fine Christian organizations. And then they can help get your money out to those in need. Let it be known that World Vision cannot be trusted with your funds and cannot be trusted to represent Jesus by making a move like this. Oh, there's a lot more to talk about from the quotes. I'll get into that later in the broadcast. But friends, now you know better why we've raised these issues for so many years now. Now you know better why I wrote the book, A Queer Thing Happened to America. We have so many open doors in front of us, friends. We have so many creative ideas that we want to put out and develop. We simply are lacking in funds. And the number one way that you can help us is becoming a monthly torchbearer, a monthly supporter. Put aside a dollar a day. Can you do that? I know for some it's a sacrifice. Don't take your money for the poor and give it to us. No, that's a separate thing, okay? But perhaps you can put aside a dollar a day and you can become a torchbearer, a monthly supporter. My special gift to you, we did it last week, but we want to do it again this week. I'm going to send you a free copy of my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, with postage. It's a $35 value for the hardcover. I'm going to send you that. And every month, we sew into you with perks and benefits every month as a torchbearer. Call now, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. Or go to my homepage, askdrbrown.org, and click on donate.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thank you so much for joining us today on The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, blessed to have this time with you. I'm not taking phone calls. If you missed any of the first half hour of the broadcast, go to my website, askdrbrown.org, and click on latest article, because I've shared some from my article that was posted yesterday on the apostasy of world vision. I want to get right back to some things, and then I want to speak to you as well about America and Uganda, make some official statements regarding that as well. And I do want to say a few other things, though, just in a preliminary way. My grief, my righteous indignation over World Vision compromising its moral, biblical values, World Vision US saying that gay employees can be, quote, married, and they will recognize that. In fact, I was told by an insider that they even said, look, if you have a gay live-in lover, as long as you marry that person now, it's okay. Words fail, really, in response to that. Let me say this plainly. I am not doubting that there are men who identify as gay, women who identify as lesbian, who absolutely love their partners, who would give their lives for their partners, who for years have wanted to, quote, be married because they feel that that would be a blessing, that it would sanction and recognize the legitimacy of their relationships in the eyes of man or in the eyes of God. I don't doubt there are many that in many ways are trying to please the Lord. I don't doubt that there are many who are earnestly wrestling with these issues and who have somehow convinced themselves that the Bible does not speak against consensual homosexual romance and sex in a committed monogamous relationship. I don't doubt that. I don't doubt that some of these people who are World Vision employees might not be some of the finest folks out there, and serving, working hard, compassionate in many ways, genuinely caring about the poor. I don't question any of that. I'm not suggesting for a minute that professing gay Christians working at World Vision are all sexual predators, are all massively promiscuous. I'm not suggesting that at all. In fact, that thought didn't enter my head. The fact of the matter is, God explicitly condemns homosexual practice. You know, because biblical scholarship is my academic background, I immediately dismissed the arguments that I heard for, quote, gay Christianity, or arguments that would say Leviticus 18:22 does not apply to today in any way, or Leviticus 18:22 is not speaking of monogamous loving relationships, or 1 Corinthians 6:9 is not speaking of homosexual practice. I mean, I immediately dismissed the arguments, but I said, you know what, let me read them. Everything in me tells me they're wrong. Let me read the arguments. Well, the more you read, the clearer it is. There are no arguments to change what Scripture plainly says. I have got a book coming out in May, Can You Be Gay and Christian? With compassion, with sensitivity, I address these issues head on. The point is that marriage in God's sight, especially if you claim to be a Christian organization, marriage in God's sight is the union of one man and one woman. It is not under any circumstances the union of two men or two women. And sexual acts, no matter how loving they may be, committed by two men or two women, are never, ever right or blessed in God's sight. World Vision is thereby done, regardless of how much they think it's an issue of controversy in the body or just an employment issue. They have spat in the face of God's definition of marriage and God's intent for men and women in marriage. All right, more to come.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Before I share some thoughts with you on the question of whether America has a moral right to condemn Uganda regarding the anti-homosexuality bill that was passed last month, I will get to that a little bit later in the broadcast, but I want to unpack a little bit more some of the words of Richard Stearns, the president of World Vision US. Again, the decision itself is terribly grievous to sanction homosexual so-called marriage within the workplace and say that this is now fine for Christian employees, that you can be a Christian employee of World Vision, be a practicing, quote, married, homosexual married to someone of the same sex. But the justification for it, in a sense, is even worse than the act itself. Listen to what Richard Stearns said in his Christianity Today article. He said this: "We are not caving to some kind of pressure." All right. Well, that makes things even more grievous. If there was no pressure to do this, why do it? Why spit in the face of those who founded the organization? Certainly Richard Stearns knows their convictions. Why completely negate 2,000 years of church history, where except for some recent liberal fringe interpretation of Scripture, this has not been questioned? You say, oh, no, historian John Boswell set the record straight that the church often sanctions same-sex relationships and sexual relationships among people of the same sex and homosexual marriage. Nonsense. Those claims have been thoroughly rebutted over the years. Why, if there's no pressure, why do it? Now, by the way, if there was pressure, then that's where you fight. And Richard Stearns said, yeah, if there was pressure on us to do something we didn't want to do, we'd fight it all the way to the Supreme Court. They're a big enough organization to do that. But we're not caving to some kind of pressure. He said, we're not on some slippery slope. I mean, it's like being, what can you say? It's like being 300 pounds overweight and saying, I'm not heavy. It's like being so out of shape that you can't even walk up a flight of steps without collapsing and saying, I'm not getting out of breath. It's amazing. There is no lawsuit threatening us, he said. There is no employee group lobbying us. This is not us compromising. Sir, you can say that all you want, but this is compromise. It's worse than compromise. It's a betrayal. It's a betrayal of your Christian constituents. Look, I got a phone call on Monday when I broke this news shortly before the Christianity Today article came out. And the caller said, look, I'm a new Christian. My wife and I went to a concert, a Christian concert with Casting Crowns, and we found out about World Vision, and we're so excited to sponsor Charlie. I think he said there was a line of people waiting to do it. Well, I'm thrilled that people want to help, and I'm thrilled that Christian ministries say, hey, let's join together to make a difference in a tangible way. That's the gospel, caring for the poor and the needy. That's an essential part of the gospel. Absolutely. Amen. For sure. So it's a betrayal of all those that would have been shocked. They would not have been at your table, and that table would not have been set up at that Christian concert had people known that you were now saying that two men could marry or two women could marry and it would be fine in God's sight, and that sexual acts that God condemns you're now saying are fine. It's a betrayal, sir. And more importantly, it's a betrayal of the Lord. Jesus' views on this have not changed. He was not just giving an outdated opinion or a cultural opinion when he said in the beginning, the way God set it up from creation, he made man from woman and woman from man so the two would become one. Matthew 19. He said, "This is not us compromising. It is us deferring to the authority of churches and denominations on theological issues." Well, first, did those churches and denominations put you under pressure? And which are those churches and denominations? Do they reflect the beliefs of your founders? Do they reflect the vision and conviction of your founders? Do they reflect hundreds of millions of Christians around the world who categorically differ with your position? Which churches and denominations? Who did you refer to? Defer to? If you say, well, they'll make the, you know, they'll teach what they want doctrinally, that's what we mean. They'll teach what they want to teach theologically. He says, we're an operational arm of the global church, but not a theological arm of the church. Well, you made a theological decision. You didn't defer anything. You made a theological decision. Yes, I'm grieved over this. Yes. And listen to this. Stern says, it's been heartbreaking to watch this issue rip through the church. It's tearing churches apart, tearing denominations apart, tearing Christian colleges apart, and even tearing families apart. Our board felt we cannot jump into the fight on one side or another of this issue. We've got to focus on our mission. We're determined to find unity in our diversity. I have rarely read a statement that was more contradictory, more self-deceived, if that's what it is, if the contradictions are not recognized, than this statement by a Christian leader. Does World Vision not realize that they have just exponentially increased that tearing apart of believers? Seriously? Do they actually think that this divisive, destructive policy will unite Christians around serving the poor? Does their board, which according to Mr. Stearns overwhelmingly approved the policy, does the board actually feel that they have not jumped into the fight on one side or another of this issue? I mean, he says it's terrible to watch how this issue is tearing everybody apart, and then they make it worse. They tear it even more. It's like coming up to me and I've got a nice suit on. You say, Mike, you see you've got a tear over here. And you rip the whole suit apart. What? For the board to say? We cannot jump into the fight on one side or another on this issue. What did you just do? I mean, people have been reading these quotes and saying, what? How can this be? I mean, it'd be like the board saying, look, because politics can be so divisive and we don't want to get into the fight, we'll just vote for the Democrats or we'll just vote for the Republicans. What? And scorning the convictions of committed Christians within your organization and committed Christians who give to your organization and committed Christians who work with your organization, all of whom absolutely stand with Scripture and stand with Jesus when it comes to redefining marriage. That's how you find unity and diversity. Look, website, World Vision website, quote, it's a Christian humanitarian organization motivated by our faith in Jesus Christ. Mr. Stern said, World Vision is committed to our Christian identity. We are absolutely resolute about every employee being followers of Jesus Christ. We're not wavering on that. So what do we do if we have an openly homosexual employee who's living with his lover? We just tell him to get married now, and now you can both be serving as Christians. What? Again, this is all mind-boggling. The website, first core value, we are Christian. We proclaim together Jesus lived, died, and rose again. Jesus is Lord. We desire him to be central in our individual and corporate life. Well, he's no longer central. To Mr. Stearns, to the board of World Vision, he is no longer central. You've denied his lordship by these actions. So, even more shockingly, Richard Stern says that World Vision's moral standards have not changed, explaining that they still require, quote, abstinence outside of marriage and fidelity within marriage for their employees. So you just redefine the terms and poof, sin disappears. It would be like saying that World Vision still requires sexual purity, except that fornication is now considered pure, or that they still require marital fidelity, except that adultery is now considered fidelity. The fact is, no matter how much two men or two women love each other, their union is not marriage in God's sight. It never will be. And their sexual relations, even if totally monogamous, remain sinful in his eyes. So I urge every church, I urge every Christian leader, every Christian artist, musician, band, that promotes, works with World Vision, every believer that supports World Vision, to inform them that they have made a terrible choice. They will no longer have your support. Obviously, if you're committed to helping a child for a period of time, do that. And then as soon as you can, withdraw your support, stop your support for World Vision, send a loud and clear message to them. And then immediately, don't miss a beat. Take the money you're giving to World Vision and give it to another Christian humanitarian organization that can do the same good with your money to help others. Again, this is a grievous thing, and it is worth focusing on for several days. Let us pray for a spirit of repentance among the leaders of World Vision. Let us pray that God will bring awakening. Let us pray that other ministries that are doing good will benefit so that more people can be helped. Perhaps this can even bring an awakening to people to say, well, I wasn't doing anything. Well, then let's get involved. Let's make a difference. We are so blessed that so many of our missionaries, our ministry school grads around the world are pouring themselves out for hurting, dying humanity, for the poor, for the suffering. That reflects the heart of God in a deep, deep way. We need awakening, friends. If you weren't convinced before, I hope you'll be convinced now. Remember to download my free revival series. It is about 24 hours worth of teaching. It's free this month of March. AskDrBrown.org. AskDrBrown.org. You'll see it right on the homepage.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, friends, Michael Brown. Welcome back to the Line of Fire. I'm not taking calls today, but I want to devote this last segment to the anti-homosexuality bill in Uganda. It came out. It was signed into law last month. I was asked to make an immediate statement on it. I shared a few thoughts on the radio, but had not yet made a statement. So what I share today, those wanting an official statement, feel free to use this. I felt specially prompted to do this, though, not because of something new that happened in Uganda in the last few days, but rather when I came back from Peru after addressing congressional leaders and university chancellors there, March 13th, so almost 2 weeks ago. And I was very clear in my address, PowerPoint slides as well, said we are not here to incite hatred against any group. We are not here to demonize any group. I was told the slides would be translated into Spanish. There was a mix-up getting it done. Otherwise, they would have seen on one of the slides where it said specifically, we're not talking about criminalizing behavior here. That was not the issue. And I went out of my way to say to those hearing me in Peru, and it was broadcast on live national television on the Congress channel, I said explicitly that you may have friends, family members, colleagues who identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender. They may be some of the finest people you know and work with. That was not the issue. The issue was what happens when you normalize homosexuality? What happens when you redefine marriage? Someone responding to an article I wrote about World Vision named Andrew posted this on the Christian Post March 25th. Poor Michael Brown, after his trip to Peru to bear false witness against gays in that country which do not share the same human rights as America, this must be quite the shock, namely what World Vision did there. Decision. Knowing that his efforts could lead to violent acts against gays in foreign countries, he dares to chastise a Christian organization that is evolving with the times. As far as answering to God, small g, Michael, if any gays are murdered due to your trip to Peru, the blood will be on your hands. You'll be expected to give account to God, small g, for their innocent lies. Well, Andrew, what you wrote there is 100% bogus. There's no one that could possibly hear a word that I would say in Peru that would then go out and commit a violent act against homosexual men and women. There's not a person who could read my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, or my forthcoming book, Can You Be Gay and Christian, or hear me speak about these issues or debate about these issues, who, based on what I say, would go out and commit an act of violence against a homosexual man or woman. No, to the contrary, while disagreeing with them in terms of saying I'm born this way, or saying that marriage should be redefined, or saying that homosexuality is no different than heterosexuality in terms of being right or wrong, while differing with them, they would have compassion and they would treat them with respect as a fellow human being. when reports began to come from someone in the media or some people in the media in Peru that I was the chief architect of the bill in Uganda, I thought, okay, I should address these issues. So in point of fact, I've never been to Uganda. I had no connection with the bill in Uganda on any level whatsoever. I was apparently mistaken for another American who was also being misrepresented as the chief architect of the bill, but he did have involvement on certain levels in Uganda. I've had none, all right, just to make that thoroughly clear. So what is my position on the bill in Uganda? Number one, we must be very careful before we make cross-cultural judgments. We must understand issues plainly and not simply superimpose our morality on another culture without clearly investigating things. Murder is always wrong. Rape is always wrong. Stealing is always wrong. Adultery is always wrong. Other things are more culturally defined, and other people live out biblical convictions differently. So, again, we must be very careful before we make a cultural judgment. February 19th, 2014, it was reported that the Ugandan government said the president has signed into law sweeping and controversial anti-pornography legislation that outlaws miniskirts and other types of revealing clothing. The new law covers a range of issues related to pornography, including child pornography, pornographic publications, and even suggestive music videos. But is grabbing headlines and stirring debate is the dress code. The law makes it illegal to wear revealing clothing, including tops that show too much cleavage and miniskirts, defined as anything above the knee. Listen, can you imagine a law like that being passed in America? That shows you the cultural gulf between the countries. There is also a Uganda Martyrs Day that commemorates 22 young Christian men in the 1880s who would not sacrifice to the traditional gods. And when the king made homosexual advances towards them, King Mwanga, they refused to submit and they were killed for it. They are celebrated as martyrs today in Uganda. That's part of the culture, an annual celebration of their martyrdom for refusing homosexual advances of the king. That's part of the culture. So America, in my view, has no right to wholesalely and blanketly condemn Uganda on a moral level when it comes to sexual morality. Let's compare the sexual morality of our teens with their teens, sexually transmitted disease among our teens and their teens, or drug use and alcoholism between our teens and their teens, just as a point of fact. Let's compare the divorce rates. It's mind-boggling how different the stats are between Uganda and America. So when we just stand back and morally condemn them, the videos that are being banned in Uganda are videos that you got 7-year-old girls in America who know all the raunchy moves and all the raunchy words, even though they don't understand what they're doing with their actions and their words. These are being banned in Uganda. At the same time, Uganda practices polygamy, which is abhorrent to most of us here in America and still illegal. All that to say, there's a massive cultural gulf between our countries, and we cannot just superimpose our morality on them. Secondly, I agree that it is right for the people of Uganda to resist the influence of gay activism through the media and through the schools on their children, especially when that activism comes from outside Uganda. I say that they can learn lessons from America and see how there's so much gender confusion now in our society and see how you can go on Facebook and sign up 50 different ways to define your gender on Facebook in America, including 10 simultaneously. And on it goes, and you can see how the redefining of marriage in America contributes to larger questions about the meaning of marriage and even the celebration of polyamory, among other things. So I agree that Uganda does well to resist the effects or the efforts of gay activism in their country, as we have seen its deleterious effects here in America. Number three, I absolutely deplore the homosexual witch-hunting mentality that has arisen in Uganda. It may have been there before, but it has been stirred even more through this bill. If this bill has been passed based on Christian moral principles, ostensibly, then by all means, these witch hunts must stop. And all acts of violence or intimidation against those who identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, or are perceived to be so must be stopped. I appeal to those who claim to be Christian, claim to be moral in Uganda, to stop with the witch hunts and to stop with intimidation and to renounce violence. And finally, I cannot see a justification for the harshness of some of the sentences. For example, life in prison for repeated homosexual acts. Again, I speak as an American without fully understanding the culture, but some of the sentences in the law do seem extreme and harsh, and I urge mercy and restraint in the courts in the carrying out of this bill. That is my statement. Go to my website, AskDrBrown.org. Download the free series on revival. It will edify you and stir your heart. My bottom line today, rather than pointing fingers at the nations of the world and condemning them, how about we get our own moral house in order?